Good evening, everybody. All righty. Grateful to be with you tonight. Grateful that all of you are here that are here. Thank you for your participation, encouragement. All right. Yeah, there is a lot of sickness still going around and things of that nature, people traveling. By the way, thinking of that, Brother Mike Wodiseski, you know, his mom's been in failing health for a while, and he got a call this afternoon that it's probably approaching the end. So he had to take off for a quick trip down to Casper, so keep him in your prayers. It's not looking very good for his mom, like she's going to transition from this temporal plane to the eternal very, very quickly here. So just be with Mike in your thoughts and prayers. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4, if you would. We've been going through, when I've had the opportunity in the last month and a half, when I've been up to go through the 8 visions of the prophet Zechariah. We've gone through 4 so far in the first 3 chapters. We're now going to be in vision number 5 as recorded in Zechariah chapter 4. Okay, so this is going to deal with the golden lampstand and the olive trees. Last time we talked about a lot of things in reference to the high priest Joshua and his representation in his role of the coming Messiah. Okay, so there was emphasis put on Joshua in our last vision. You're going to notice in this vision that the emphasis is going to go towards Zerubbabel. So you got the priest and the one of the royal lineage. Okay, so we can kind of figure out what God's trying to communicate there, most of us that are familiar with the New Testament. But let's just go through this, and like I said, as I'm going through these visions, I'm trying not to get locked down too deeply into this, but kind of hit it across the tops of the waves and get you the major stuff so we can get through a vision each time I'm up here. So Zechariah 4, let's just read through it. It's 14 verses, and we'll just kind of come back and review and see what kind of principles we can pull from this. Then the angel who was speaking with me, speaking with Zechariah, returned and roused me as a man who is awakened from his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" And I, this is Zechariah speaking, said, "I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with its bowl on the top of it and its 7 lamps on it with 7 spouts or tubes belonging to each of the lamps which are on the top of it. Also 2 olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on its left side." Then I answered and said to the angel who was speaking with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord, or Yahweh, to Zerubbabel, saying, 'Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, Yahweh of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it.' Then you will know that the Lord, or Yahweh of hosts, has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? But these 7 will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, or Yahweh, which range to and fro throughout the earth." Then I answered and said to him, this is Zechariah now speaking again, "What are these 2 olive trees on the right of the lampstand and on its left?" And I answered the second time and said to him, he's speaking to the angel, "What are the 2 olive branches which are beside the 2 golden pipes which empty the golden oil from themselves?" So he answered me, saying, "Do you not know what these are?" Zechariah, and I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the 2 anointed ones," more literal, sons of oil, "who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth." Let's pray. God, thank you for preserving your word. Thank you for all the lessons, the concepts, the principles that are contained within the Old Testament that help us through the application of New Testament principles and clarification of passages that are prophetic in nature. We are able to understand the lessons that you want us to pull from the Old Testament teaching that's there. That's been preserved, and it's for our example, our instruction. It's designed for it to be utilized and understood by us. So, Lord, I'm grateful for that. Thankful that we get the opportunity to go back and look at things under the old covenant and look at the promises and the prophecies you made in reference to the Messiah, those working in the building of the restoration of the temple after it had been destroyed by the Babylonians and in the process of being rebuilt by the faithful remnant that returned from Babylon in an effort to bring back the people into Israel and restore fellowship through worship to you through the second reconstruction of the temple here. So there are lessons involved here, and they're all pointing, ultimately, we know through the scripture, to you, Lord Jesus. And then, in some way, we need to understand it's going to apply to your people. So help us tonight to have our eyes open, be ready to see what you want us to see in your word, and understand the plan as it's being unfolded, not only before our eyes, but before the eyes of Zechariah, as it was revealed to him, and ultimately to Zerubbabel and the people involved in the rebuilding of the temple. We are so grateful that we are involved in the building of the true temple, the one that you looked so earnestly for from before the foundation of the earth, that kingdom you desired to give as our opportunity to be a part of. So thank you again, Lord, for that. We just pray that we would be encouraged by what we learned tonight, and that I would communicate clearly for the sake of my brothers and sisters in Christ so that they may be encouraged, they may be edified and built up, and they may be further equipped to know who they are so that they can accomplish the work of service in this our generation. Thank you, Lord, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so the vision here you can see is now focused towards Zerubbabel. Like I said, chapter 3 was more working on Joshua. All these visions are building, and they're designed to be understood together. And you can kind of see, as we look through it, with New Testament eyes, there is a consistency of what's being communicated. And it has to do with the rebuilding of the temple, which ultimately, as I mentioned in my prayer, has to do with our involvement in the rebuilding or the building, restoration of the spiritual temple. Okay? So Zechariah is trying to figure out, okay, what's my role? He's involved with Joshua in this. So he has another vision, and it's like he's been almost asleep. So you can see he's not been asleep. These have been visions, and you can see these visions have come. It's implied in this first verse that he's almost like, you know, just, wow, this is a lot. Kind of, you know, almost going to sleep, worn out from this, and whoop, he gets roused. No, we're not done yet. We're only halfway through. We got four more to go. Come on. So he rouses him and wakes him like a man from his sleep. He wasn't sleeping. He was just kind of, you know, kind of looks like he was fading, but he was having these visions, and they all were in one night, as we talked about. These are given to him just in one series after another. Okay? So in verse 2, the angel asked him, so what do you see? He said, well, I see there a lampstand, gold one, okay, with a bowl on top of it, and on this bowl it's got seven lamps in it, and then there's seven spouts or tubes to these little lamps that are coming out of this bowl thing. So it's all kind of one unit, it appears, from what I've been able to discern, reading through the scripture, looking at the Hebrew and all that. So it's one piece, like this bowl, and then it's got like seven. I could go up and try and draw it on the board, but you guys end up laughing so hard that you wouldn't get nothing out of it. But so it looks like it's all one piece, and it's got all these lamps built into it, and then there's tubes that are pouring oil into it or out of it. Okay? So what you're getting is a golden lampstand that does not resemble the lampstand that was present in the tabernacle nor in the temple. It is different. Different. See, so that's the first thing that Zechariah would recognize. Joshua in particular as a priest would be very aware of this. Okay? But Zerubbabel also is going to understand this. This is different. Right? So that's why he's asking these questions. Okay, this is different. It doesn't look like what we're supposed to see here. So what is this thing? Well, it's gold. It's a lampstand. Okay, so what's the principle the scripture teaches about a lampstand? It's a light-bearing unit. Amen? Light-bearing unit. This one has a description that there's so much oil going into it and being fed into these other lamps, it's being dispersed into other lamps, that they're just abundant light. Abundant light. So, and God's working on something from the very beginning of these visions. He's trying to convince Zerubbabel, Joshua, through the work of Zechariah, and ultimately the people of Israel, God's word is going to come to its ultimate fruition. That's an underlying concept through all these visions. So the lampstand, as we know, is a foreshadow of the completed Word of God. We always like to tell people when we're studying with them, when we're trying to prove to them that the Bible is the Word of God, we take them to Psalm 119, 105. We say, "Thy word is a light, is a lamp and a light unto my path." All right? So God's word, that's what sheds light. And then this morning, you know, we had reference to light in a couple of ways. My class this morning, I talked about when it was probably true that, you know, again, I did the whole deal on the most likely time that Jesus was born, and would have been the month of what's called Tishri, you know, September, October in the fall. And so you can go count back nine months, and that would put you in the present time we're in our calendar, December, that's Chisholm. And that was what developed in that month, was a festival that came from the cleansing of the temple after the Greek rulers and those guys, particularly Antiochus Epiphanes, had desecrated it, had to be cleansed by the Maccabeans. So they created this festival called the Festival of Light, which is known as Hanukkah. Okay, so Jesus was most likely conceived during the month of Chislev, when they would be celebrating the Festival of Light. So Jesus said, "I am light to the world," right? Well, what does the scripture say about you, Christian? That was mentioned this morning by Lorenzo in his message, which I thought was a really well-done message. He said, we're lights, aren't we? You go to Revelation 1, and where's Jesus walking? He's walking among the lampstands. Well, what do the lampstands represent? Well, it goes on to say it's the seven churches that the messengers are giving a message to. So what are the lampstands representing? The church represents the light of God, the Word of God. See? So that's what this is all about, the undertow, if you want to call it, in here, that you need to understand. This is about the light produced, and it's in reference to the Word of God. And underneath all of this is God's communicating from one vision to another, my Word is going to come to its fruition, I've told you. Right, and we're going to see in this chapter, he says, you'll know when this comes about that I sent you. You'll know. See, so we take people through the study on proof that the Bible is the Word of God, and we show them, look how many of these prophecies are fulfilled to a T across thousands of years. Impossible that mankind could have got this right. Right? You'll know that I sent you when this comes. See, so anybody that goes out with the Word of God can say, I say, I know God. You know, it's true, here it is, right? And we go through it. So lampstands, all right? Need to understand that. That's what it is, and God's Word's going to come to its normal or to its fruition according to what He has prophesied. And then so these two olive trees are side by side on each side of this bowl. All right? So in verse 4, Zechariah speaking says, what are these, my Lord? So he asks the question. The angels seems a little bit surprised he didn't have this figured out. You do not know what these are? Or maybe he doesn't fully understand why he hasn't got it figured out. Remember, these are angels. A little bit higher than mankind, you know. You know, I'm talking about a non-spirit-filled man here. Zechariah, he was inspired by the Spirit, but he did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit. So he's not got everything figured out. Not everything's been revealed to him yet. He didn't have the completion of all of God's revelation like we have at hand, right? What are these, Lord? You don't know? No, I don't know. Then he answered and said to him, remember, he asked the question. Here's what he gets back. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, he goes, what, what? I asked what these... This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Well, it's a clue there, but I mean, it isn't really an answer to the question, not a direct answer. So he's trying to go back and tell Zerubbabel, okay, I've got you guys involved in building this temple. I know what the process has been. I know what has happened in this time frame. You got started, then all the problems begin. There's been a 15, 16-year period where nothing's been done, and you see nothing but obstacle, opposition, and problems in front of you. So he says, okay, let's figure out how we're going to get to this solution, Zerubbabel. Not by power, not by might. So the two words in the Hebrew are interesting. If you look in the Hebrew, those two words there, when it says not by might, that's always used in the Hebrew language to talk about human might, like military or things of that nature. So it's not by human might. Then he says not by power. That's like the power that would come from within the human person. Okay? Now, this is just generalized. Okay? There's more to this, but generalized. Okay? But by my Spirit. Okay? So, you know, here's all the problems before him. And he says it's not going to happen by human effort alone. That's what he's saying. It's not going to happen what you're dealing with these issues. So he delves with the background issue that's going on. You notice that wasn't Zerubbabel's question. But isn't it interesting? The Spirit moves Zechariah and the angel to have this engagement, this vision. And the angel says, it's not by human effort, but by my Spirit. So what's he saying? It's what I've told you. It's what I've revealed to you. What the Spirit is telling you. All these things are what is going to get this job done. Not by human effort. Okay? So that's interesting to me, that that's the answer that comes back. Not by human agency. That's what he's saying. But by my Spirit. And then he goes on and says in verse 7, what are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll become a plain. He will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace to it. So he's saying, look, I know there's lots of problem. There's a mountain of opposition against you guys. A mountain. What is it? What is it to me? God says through the angel. What is it to me? Nothing. With your faith, Zerubbabel, with your faith, believe in my Spirit, believe in what I've told you, it'll be made a plain. We'll take it out. Don't you worry. In all my messages I've been telling you, God's been saying, don't worry, I got this, it's going to get done. You do what I've told you to do. Believe what I've told you and get involved in building the temple and stay focused on that issue. Right? But he's dealing with all the issues that Zerubbabel has to deal with in the background, which is this opposition, persecution, all the political machinations. See, so we run into those in our daily lives. I mean, last 2 years, what's it been? You know, better not assemble. It's not safe. And then, you know, it's one dictate after another that comes from one governing authority after another that's infringing upon our rights. And I'm convinced, just like many others that preach the Word of God or teach the Word of God, that it is Satan at work through his agents, the sons of disobedience, as the book of Ephesians would call him, working their political program ultimately to try to shut down the church from assembling together and particularly trying to build this spiritual temple. See, we are in the face of that too, right now. So they've had a test run with this last 2 years, you know, with this all this pandemic, plandemic, whatever you want to call it, okay? And there is a goal in mind. There is a goal in mind that Satan has, and the sons of disobedience are executing it. Now, whether some of them are fully aware they're doing it on his behalf or not really is irrelevant. It's happening. So what is this great mountain, O church in Billings? It'll become a plain. And he will bring forth top stone with shouts of grace to it. You will be involved in bringing forth that top stone. Jesus, we read in the last vision, was the cornerstone. But what is Jesus as well? He's the capstone. See, he's not only the author of our faith, he's the perfecter of our faith. Amen? He begins it and he finishes it. See? So it's all about our faith. It's all about us understanding that, who we are, believing that God said we can get this done. What is this mountain? It'll become a plain. Do you believe it? That's what God says. Not by a human agency alone. You know, you're not going to be able to get this done if you do it on your own. If you think by your human might, your human planning, your human scheming, whatever, even on the behalf of the Lord, it's not going to happen. It's going to be by his Spirit, by believing in what he says and doing what he tells us is important and not getting distracted from it. And I know you can get distracted. I got distracted early parts of the pandemic. I did. You guys have heard me say, hey, man, my faith was challenged. I don't mean I didn't any longer believe in God or Jesus. That never was the issue. I'm talking about my faith in God's plan wavered a little bit. Like, really, Lord, at this time? You know? Same thing these guys are doing. Hey, we got started. Stop. What's going on? I thought you wanted to do this, Lord. It can happen. Right? So, in verse 8, he says, also the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands will finish it. See, that's building on what it was said there in verse 7 there. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Did they finish the temple? Yes, they did. By the way, you know, in that early verse that we read there when I said grace, grace to it. If you go back and read Ezra chapter 3, when they got the foundation laid before the work got stopped. Remember, two groups of people? The newbies, the youngsters. Yay! The old people that remember the original temple. Right? But there were shouts of yay when they laid the foundation stone, right? Well, there should be shouts of yay, the foundation stone's been laid in heaven, right? It has. It's where it got laid in Zion, according to Isaiah and Psalm 118. Okay, so, you know, grace, grace to it. That's what we're looking forward to now, right? So, when the capstone finally is done, this thing's done, when we get this thing built, all right? But you'll know that the Lord has sent me to you. The temple got built. Okay? Within about 4 years of this time, it got built. Zerubbabel was there to see it. So when Zerubbabel sees this happen, guess what Zerubbabel's doing? Man, the Lord was right. Got done. Got done. So again, all the things we go back and look at, these prophetic utterances, and we see God fulfilled every one of them. You know, God got it done. So when he talks about our reward, what's coming for us, you know, he's gonna fulfill it, isn't he? It's guaranteed. You know, in the common vernacular of a comedian out there, he's going to get her done, isn't he? Yeah, he's going to get her done, with or without you. The question is, are we going to be involved in this? So he's trying to encourage Zerubbabel in his role. He's part of the royal line. He's dealt with the priests, with Joshua, and said, Joshua, here's what you're representing over here. Showed him that he was a representation of the Messiah to come. Now Zerubbabel, he says, Zerubbabel, you're going to be involved in building this thing too, along with his priest. Okay? And you're going to be there when they capstone this thing off. And you're going to know that I sent you. Zechariah is going to know that he was sent. Zerubbabel is going to know he was sent to do the work. All this is involved in understanding that God had sent them to do the work. Verse 10, for who has despised the day of small things? Now look, I don't know how many of you have ever been involved in projects. I've had, speaking of Mike Wojcicki, he's come over to my house and done a lot of projects in my house. I'm not a real good mechanical guy. I can do things if I have to, but usually if I have somebody else that knows more, and I've had, Justin Bolton's done a lot of work at my house too, and he will tell you, if I got somebody that knows how to do it, the time's going to get cut in half. But I used to always laugh. People would say, when I'd say, well, how long will this take? The project? Oh, probably about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I said, all day then. I can't tell you how many times Justin did a lot of work when I was actually at work. My wife was there to see him get things done. It was back in the days before I was collecting unsocial insecurity. Anyway, but I can tell you with Mike, a lot of times we get started on a project and we think, hour and a half, 2 hours. We'd start at 9 o'clock in the morning. About 4:30 in the afternoon, we'd wrap her up. Pretty consistent. So what am I trying to drive at? Okay, the point here is who's despised the day of small things? These guys thinking, well, we're getting just a little bit done here, a little bit done there, then persecution. What's God saying? Who's despised? That's progress. God said, this is awesome to me. I see the progress being made. So in your own life, you might be dealing with some issues. You're like, oh, 2 steps forward, maybe 1.5 back. God goes, don't despise a day of small things. It's progress. My spirit leading you. Who's despised the day of small things? But these 7 will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Plumb line is used when building. These are the eyes of the Lord which range to and fro throughout the earth. And of course, everybody likes to quote that verse out of, 2 Chronicles 69? 1 Chronicles 69, Lord's eyes are on those whose heart is fully devoted to him. Well, in this case, his eyes are on everything going on in the earth, including those that are trying to thwart his plan. He's got his eyes on everything. He's saying, you build, I've got everything else covered. See this concept all the way through these visions? Are you guys seeing that? God's saying, don't worry about this. I've got it. Do your part. And this is all to the gang that's trying to rebuild the temple. All right, then in verse 7, he said, I answered. Zechariah said to him, okay, I asked this question. You never really answered it. Let's give it another shot. Then I answered and said to him, but what are these two all? That's me doing my best stuttering, okay? You ain't seen nothing yet. Okay, what are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand and on its left? And then before he can say anything, the angel, notice what Zechariah says. He says in verse 12, and I answered the second time, like I'm responding, second time, and said to him, the angel, what are the, now notice this, see, the first time he said, what are the two olive trees? Catch that, right in the lampstand. Now look at what he says. What are the two olive branches which are beside the two golden pipes which empty the golden oil from themselves? That's really, really interesting. The literal there in those branches is clusters in the Hebrew. And when I can remember when I read this one time, I'm reading through it, I don't know what time, how many times through it was when I read it, and I went, anybody know why I went when I read that verse? And I recognize it as branches and clusters. Oh. Anybody read John 15 recently? I am the vine, you are the branches? What? Ooh. And he goes on in John 15, says, if you don't bear fruit, boop, out you go. If you do bear fruit, I'm going to prune you so you bear even more. That's John 15, really quick summary. Interesting. And these are the ones that are piping what are the two olive branches which are beside the two golden pipes which empty the gold and oil from themselves. So these are flowing the light, the oil that lights, right? So he answered me saying, do you not know what these are? I'm going to myself, I do. when I thought I figured this out, and I still think I figured it out. No, my Lord. In my mind, I'm going, yes, I think so. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones, sons of oil, who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. I read that and I went, I've got it. I know what God was trying to communicate to not only Zerubbabel, through Zechariah, but to me and my brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, through Joshua, we're going to build this thing. The priest, through Zerubbabel, the royal lineage, we're going to build this thing. And so I went, oh, when we get to chapter 6, he's going to, the culmination of all these visions, he's going to present this object lesson to Joshua again. Hey, one guy is going to occupy both the priesthood and the king's position, and there'll be a council of peace. Oh, and Prince of Peace. I mean, I'm reading Zechariah. I'm like, oh, this is exciting. I'm getting all this stuff figured out. And now I know who the sons of oil are, the priests and the kings, or the royal priests. Oh, who is that? Couldn't be me, could it? Yeah, it could be. It's you and me. That's what this is about. Build the temple. I need the priesthood involved. I need the royal line involved. And it's all put there so that we get to 1 Peter 2. We read that stuff and our mind goes, choo, choo, choo. We go back, start reading the Old Testament. Oh, I know what this is about. And I can even yell a little bit when I'm preaching because I'm so excited. But when I read it, I'll be really calm and collected. Until I go, whoa! Oop, did I say that out loud? I can remember reading stuff when I got it figured out and saying out loud, and I thought, whoa! Literally, sitting in my office years ago when I'd write some of the bulletins that I was involved in, when I'd write the little stuff inside the bulletin. I did that for years and years. I'd study all these things out and write these bulletins. And before I'd write the bulletin, I'd come across something, study it out, and go, whoa! I remember sitting in my office, it actually coming out of my mouth without me even thinking, whoa, this is really good. Just saying that out loud to myself, between me and the Lord. He's, of course, left there. Yeah, he's got it. Right? When stuff like this comes across and goes bang in your head, boosh, he's up there in heaven going, yeah. And angels are, that's what it was? That's what it was? And the Lord's going, yep. Because they said to Peter, they longed to look and know what time or season of Christ they were speaking about. And that's what it was? And the Lord's going, yep. Whoa, this is awesome. That's what they're doing in heaven. And we're down here going, whoa, this is awesome. Isn't it awesome? I mean, the Old Testament, why would you bother with that? Stuff like this. You know, that's why I enjoy this stuff. Because we get to look at it through the prism and the lens of the New Testament, bring out God's multifaceted picture of who we are, who Christ is, and help us to understand the principles, the types in the physical are pointing to us, the antitypes in the spiritual. So I hope that this just quick overview here gets you excited. Because the sons of oil, brothers and sisters, are you and me standing beside the Lord of the whole earth. And we are standing beside him because he's raised us and seated us with him in the heavenly places. Amen? This is about you and me, ultimately. But it was there to gear up Joshua and fire up Zerubbabel and let them know how important they were in the plan of God in the face of persecution and opposition. It's coming. It's going to get ratcheted up. It's not going to get any better. Probably going to get worse with the opposition and persecution in our time. More in your face. But this is designed to say, not by human agency, church, but by my spirit. Trust what I've told you is going to happen. Do your part. It's going to happen. Amen. Let's stand.